is KZSU Stanford. Mystery Playhouse 90.1 will not be aired this week in order to bring you the following special, recorded live, The Other Side.
Welcome to The Other Side, the in-depth news program that takes an extended look into the other side. I'm Ragni Stewart, and today we have with us the president and major shareholder of Vomit Records. Mr. White, welcome to The Other Side.
Thank you, Rodney, and let me prefix my discussion with a little word of thanks to The Other Side for having me on the show. Vomit Records appreciates this opportunity to display its goods and feels your show does a real community service by offering alternative news to the public. And the public is, after all, the ultimate consumer. The big boss, where the buck starts. In fact, we warn our employees at Vomit when dealing with the public that if you can't smile, bile.
thank you, Mr. White. We are certainly glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, well, if you're really glad, you could always have me back another time. Like our motto at Vomit says, it's always better the second time round. Hey, you don't mind if I have a bite, do you?
Of course not. Now, I see, Mr. White, I'd like to cover some of your company's past products. Since your company is most famous for its records, I thought we'd start there.
Oh, Ragney, we're just a small homegrown company, but we're up and coming. Perhaps we're not as big as some of the major labels yet, but it's just a matter of time before we're, playing with the big boys. You know what I mean? Like we say at Vomit, if you can't take them out to lunch, you can always take the lunch out of them.
Well, Mr. White, I wasn't talking so much about your fame as a corporate giant, but rather the notoriety your company has received due to the audience that you've chosen to cater to and the method with which it's selected to execute those goals.
What?
I'm referring to the children's records your company puts out.
Oh, the kiddie records. Yeah, sure. Well, they're our biggest item. But you know, they're not just for kids. They're for adults, too.
I'll certainly have to agree with that. In fact, half the controversy your company receives centers around the claim that your records should only be available to adults.
Controversy? You mean the media hype. Listen, lady, we adults always tend to want to hog all the fun for ourselves. But like we say at Vomit Corp, what goes down must come up. So we target our products for the young in the audience, and the audience expands as the consumer grows. So we're just kind of helping them grow a little faster. I mean, who can object to that?
Yes, well, I'm sure no one objects to their children growing up. I think the public's more concerned about what they grow up into, especially with the aid of your records. Apparently, moms and dads don't want to have to spring their offsprings from jail.
Spring, what?
Well, children that are murderers, rapists, and drug addicts, thanks to the lyrics from your music.
Oh, the lyrics. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that if I were you, really. They're just words, you know.
Everyone's aware of that, Mr. White, but it's what the words suggest and how they are suggested through backmasking, the subliminal hiding of lyrics that the conscious mind can't pick up, but are nevertheless there for the subconscious mind to receive. And I have a selection here that I thought we'd play as an example.
The farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. Hi-ho, the derry-o, the farmer in the dell.
Well, Mr. White, have you any comment?
About what?
Well?
Are you going to play it backwards, or what's this idea? You're going
to
try to intimidate me?
Let's
I'm really intimidated.
Backwards.
Coward. Kill mommy, kill
mommy, kill mommy, kill mommy, kill mommy, kill mommy, kill mommy, kill mommy.
And now, Mr. White, do you have any comment?
The Farmer in the Dale is one of my favorite songs.
I was referring to the other lyrics, your lyrics, the subconscious lyrics. Now, don't you think it's a little dangerous?
Dangerous? How? I mean, they're just lyrics.
Well, telling kids to kill their mothers.
Hey, now, wait a minute. We didn't tell kids to kill their mothers. That was the artist expressing his own personal feelings, no one else's. Besides, no one takes that stuff seriously.
It could happen.
It could happen? Well, sure, it could happen. My molecules could line up with those in the chair and I could fall through, but it's very unlikely.
All right. Perhaps we should draw on a more direct example. Now, how about this selection?
Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony. Stuck a feather in his hat and called it Murray.
All right. sounds harmless enough, but now let's listen backwards.
Why steal when you can kill? Why steal when you can kill? Why steal when you can kill?
Mr. White, you're telling kids to kill.
Oh, come on. That was a rhetorical question. I don't see you defending us for discouraging thievery now.
Now, you're just trying to lower shoplifting losses, which proves you do expect subliminal messages to have an effect on listeners.
Oh, that doesn't prove anything. What it proves is that I don't like you. I mean, whose side are you on anyway?
The other side.
The other side? I thought you were on my side. I mean, you said that we were going to come here to talk about the exciting product line of our show. And here I am being cross-examined. I mean, who put you up to this anyway? Mattel? Power Records? Listen, pal, you want to play Dirty Pool? I'll play Dirty Pool. I'm the king of Dirty Pool.
Which brings us to our next selection.
I ain't going to listen to your next selection no more. You can do it by yourself. I mean, you're doing fine without me. But you'll be hearing from my lawyer, honey. And he eats crap like you for breakfast. And if you don't believe me, you just don't know Therm. There's a First Amendment in this country, and you can't take it away. Way, that's for sure. We have a motto at Vomit that goes, if you can't beat them, barf them, and we're gonna expel you like some half-digested, green, slimy piece of...
On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow.
Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue.
Sid quote, Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue, unquote. We now return you to the music of Raymond Raquello, playing for you.
Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast.
Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
Martial law prevails throughout. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make.
So that we may confront this destructive adversary.
Everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
Brother Louis come from anyway? Was he born with his thumb in his mouth and with the blanket he always carries around?
Silly. Babies aren't born with blankets. They aren't even born with their thumbs in their mouth, I don't think.
Well, then where did he come from?
Home on Elm Street. That's where we live, you know.
Hey, I mean when he was small. You know, an infant. A little baby.
A what?
An infant! You know, very small, just born. Where did your mother and father get him?
My mother went to the hospital and our doctor delivered him for her there. It was kind of a miracle. A funny little kid like that has to be a miracle.
Ha ha! Gosh, you don't know anything.
What do I know about where babies come from anyways? Let alone Louis. I know, Roger can tell us. Any Anyone who can play music on the piano like he does must know vast amounts of interesting things, like even where a baby comes from.
That's true.
Roger! Roger! Roger, where do babies come from?
Well, to understand where babies come from, one must start from the beginning. All babies are derived on the basis of genetics.
What?
Genetics. It's all really very simple. All things that live are made from billions of little cells. And in each cell are tiny packages of chemicals called genes that determine what we are going to be. A boy, a girl, a flower, a fish, a donkey, or an elephant. Nature puts chemicals in the genes, which tells how you will grow and what you will be like. The way a house is built from plans, the genes are plans for all living things, so that they even decide what kind of hair, eyes, teeth, and talent you have.
No one plays music on the piano the way Roger does.
To continue, eyes, teeth, and talent, as well as all the other features about living things, are decided by the genes. Nature puts together whole groups of genes that have all the stuff needed to make us what we are in a special way. That makes every child a distinct and different person, different from anyone else that has ever lived. It makes every one of us special and unique. Even though we sometimes look and act alike, we are still different.
No one plays music on the piano the way Roger does.
That's true. Half of a baby's genes come from its mother's egg, and the other half from its father's sperm.
In Superman's Fortress of Solitude stands Kandor, the city in a bottle, stolen and miniaturized by a space pirate before the explosion of the planet Krypton. In this controlled environment, a million microscopic inhabitants keep the towering civilization of Superman's native world alive. Standing at the podium before a capacity audience in the city's civic center is Dar Bomb, Kandor's Commissioner of Science Police.
The annual Science Police Awards ceremony. To present the decoration for outstanding officers of the past year, I am privileged to present a man whose visits from the outside world are not nearly often enough. Kal-El, known to most of the galaxy as Superman.
Thank you, fellow Kandorians. The job of being a Superman is very different from being a policeman. And so it is, with the greatest respect, that I call Science Police Officer Ron Zah to the podium to accept.
Look, a man with a gravity gun!
Hello, are you all right? Thank the fate you ducked in time.
I'm going to do more than that, Ron Zah.
He's running away!
Look out for that gun!
Somebody stop him!
Hold on, Kal-El!
Let go of me, Ron Zah. You're keeping me from...
getting hurt. You don't have your superpowers here in Kandor. Not in an environment just like Krypton's.
But
let me do what I've been trained for. Watch. Everyone clear the complex now. You've nowhere to run, you Kandorian scum.
Make a move for me and my gravity gun will blast your atoms apart.
Blast away. It won't save you.
Look, his uniform is deflecting a gravity beam back at the terrorist, and it's...
A neat trick, Ron Zah. How did you pull it off?
Simple, Kal-El. Policemen on Earth are sometimes known to wear bulletproof vests. But we science police in Kandor have gone them one better. Our uniforms repel a would-be killer's ammunition right back to the source.
He's in critical shape, but after a few hours in the rehabilitation booth, he'll be completely recovered.
And then he can stand trial for attempting to assassinate our distinguished guest of honor.
I'm indebted to you, Ron Zah. That was a fine display of police work.
That's our Ron. Now you know how he got the reputation of being Kandor's finest.
After many fond farewells, Superman leaves the microscopic confines of the tiny bottle city as the microwave beamer in his fortress restores him to normal size. And then it's the Arctic Fortress he leaves behind as he streaks back to Metropolis and his job as mild-mannered Clark Kent, anchorman for WGBS-TV News.
Okay, Clark, let's go over it again. Mr. Edge, I wanted to talk to you
Ruby Carr.
Wait, I think I got it. Mr. Edge, I wanted to talk to you because I really think I'm entitled to more. I mean, it's my opinion that, well, if it's all right with you, of course, could you please, maybe...
No, Clark. All wrong. Stop hedging. You just tell him you want a raise and you know you deserve it. That's all there is to it.
But, Lois, I couldn't be that blunt. Not with Mr. Edge. It wouldn't be right.
Sometimes, Clark, I wonder why I even bother with you.
That plane's in trouble.
The engines are on fire.
It's out of control.
Oh, my gosh. Clark is going to hit the galaxy building before anybody do something.
I can, but not standing around here. I've got to slip away and change to...
Look, Clark, up in the sky.
Great Scott!
Hey, that's not Superman!
You could have fooled me. What is going?
Yes, Clark. A man in a weird costume grabbed the fuselage of that plane and is flying it to safety just like Superman would.
Believe me, Lois, I'm as surprised as you are. I'd better find a telephone booth and phone this story into the station.
Okay, Clark. The newspaper byline is mine.
But instead of finding a phone, Clark Kent finds a deserted alley. And a heartbeat later, the soft-spoken reporter sheds his clothes to become the mighty Man of Steel himself. Superman! And a few moments later, at Metropolis Airport, an astounded ground crew has watched an amazing demonstration.
Phew. You don't look like Superman, but you sure operate like him. You brought that twin-engine job in on your shoulders and put out the flames with super breath just like a real pro.
Yeah, but if you're not Superman, who are you, buddy?
I assure you, my name is not Buddy.
His name is Ronzar, gentlemen.
Superman!
The real one!
Greetings, Kal-El. I knew it wouldn't take you long to find me.
You and I have some things to discuss, Ronzar. What do you say we talk in private? About 50,000 feet up?
After you.
Gee! Now it looks like Metropolis has two Supermen.
Looks like. I just hope...
What is it?
I just hope those two are friends.
Here we are, leveling off at 50,000 feet.
Let's have it, Ronzar. Why have you followed me to the outside world?
Because in Kandor, I'm the best there is. You gave me an award that says so. But what does a superior city like Kandor need with an expert crime fighter?
You were born and trained there. That's where you belong.
I belong here on Earth. I'm better at this than you are. This planet is a mess, Kal-El. With Kryptonian superpowers along with my training, I'll be a super cop.
But you know nothing about superpowers. I've had them since I was a baby, and even I make mistakes sometimes.
That's because you're an amateur and I'm a professional.
Where are you flying off to?
I've got work to do. Got to show you what superpowers and training can do.
Over the next several days, Ronza of Kandor tries to prove his boast as the people of Metropolis and the world take notice.
This is Clark Kent with a WGBS TV news summary. The mysterious supercop continues to dominate the headlines. Today, he issued summonses to 36,000 jaywalkers, and he heat-beamed the engines of 12,000 cars he claimed were polluting the air too much. Several days ago, he said that since most crimes occur in the nighttime hours, people would need a special pass from him to walk the streets of Metropolis after 9 p.m. WGBS reporter Jimmy Olsen filed this report on today's demonstration against the curfew.
Here on the left bank of the Metropolis River, over 15,000 marchers have shown up for this demonstration against the rules laid down. A new development. The super cop has entered the scene. He seems to be... Yes, he's coming over here.
You! You're a reporter. I'd like to make a statement.
My audience is yours.
I'd like Metropolis to know there will be no more demonstrations against any laws issued by me. Anything I decree is necessary for the welfare of...
Superman.
Hello, Jimmy. Ronzar, I believe you're making a mistake here.
Move along, Kal-El. You should have done this years ago yourself.
Maybe so. But the right to protest is guaranteed by law to all American citizens. You can no more limit that right legally than commit grand theft.
I'll be back.
Both Superman and Super Cop are flying off now. No? The super cop is diving into the river. It looks like... Hey, a water spout is popping up where he dove in. The water from the river is rising up and beginning to tumble from the sky onto the demonstrator. It's a cloud burst, and there isn't a cloud in the sky, and it's breaking up the night. The super cop can't stop the demonstration directly, but there's no law against making it rain. This is Jimmy Olsen, WGBS-TV News.
This is Clark Kent back in the WGBS studio. The curfew and the new rules are still in effect, and Superman has made no public statement on the matter. We'll have more news after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Clark, where are you running off to? You've got a newscast to finish.
This is no time for a coffee break. It's only a 60-second commercial.
But the mild-mannered newsman has a far more pressing problem on his mind as he finds a deserted stockroom a few doors up from Studio B.
Reading that report on Ron Zar's policies was the last straw. It's about time someone told him Metropolis cannot be run like a police state. And that someone is... Superman!
But elsewhere in the city at that moment, another super-powered figure patrols a neighborhood at low altitude.
Look at these Earthling citizens. Many of them duck into their houses and automobiles as I pass by. This is the way they should regard the law, with great respect and perhaps a little fear. That's what Kal-El's biggest mistake was. He made everyone take Superman for granted, as if he were on their level. He didn't know the law has to be set above the general public for it to function. Now, that's odd. Some sort of strange light beams seem to be emanating from that automobile junkyard up ahead. This bears investigating. The radiation is very weak, and coming from that one primitive automobile over... The headlights of that car turned on some horrible death ray. Can't stand up?
No, you can't, can you? Any more than Superman could, if you were he.
Who are you? Crouched in the car. Show yourself.
Delighted to, Super Cop, or whatever you call yourself. I'm Lawrence Gabriel. These quasar beams causing you so much discomfort are a rather brilliant invention of mine.
Why would you want to kill me?
It wasn't you I was commissioned to destroy. It was Superman. But with the crime syndicate bosses here, you fell into my trap instead. I'm sure they'll be almost as delighted. I'll try to make it to your funeral, old man.
No! Where are you going? How do I get out of here?
I'll just turn off the headlights. If you can call that boss.
My super hearing, picking up the sound of children playing elsewhere in this awful graveyard. If I can throw my voice to them with super ventriloquism.
And elsewhere in the large junkyard.
Found you, Joey. Your shirt was sticking out behind the door.
I did not. You didn't see me until after I...
Attention. This is Ronza of the Science Police.
Where's that voice coming from? From nowhere?
I need your help, boys. Please come to the northeast corner of this junkyard. Immediately.
It's one of that creepo super cop's tricks. I don't know about you, but I ain't getting caught.
Me neither. Maybe he passed a law that says you get the electric chair for playing in junkyards.
I'm done for. Little children are afraid to come near me, even when I'm helpless as a fish. Maybe Kal-El was right. Perhaps my methods were wrong. That sound. Is there time for home? Kal-El! Now I know why they call you Superman.
No time for that. The switches in this car are rusted and useless. I'll have to help the owner of this junkyard by crushing this particular car for him.
Superman, Kal-El, you saved my life. How can I thank you?
By doing your duty to your people, our people in Kandor. I received a message just minutes ago that a crime wave has broken out and the authorities are at their wits' end. I have work to do here, but in Kandor, they need you.
But that scientist, Gabriel, he'll get away.
I just delivered him personally to a federal prison. Been waiting for him to show his face so I could nab him for weeks. That's how I learned where you were. Now, if you'll excuse me, Ronza. I have work to do.
As I do. Home in Kandor, where they need me. As for Earth, well, I guess there's only one Superman.
Yes, a new baby is dependent.
All babies except Samantha. She was born independent. Ha ha.
Ha ha yourself.
Okay, so that, how does the baby get out of the uterus and into the world to come to its new home?
Through the vagina, which is a passage between the uterus and an opening between the mother's legs. An opening close to where the urine leaves a girl's body.
Roger, that's fascinating. Roger, you said an egg from the mother and a thing called sperm from the father unite to form what develops into a baby. What are sperm?
Yes, all girls have ovaries. They are even present in her body when a girl is first born. And every girl, once she's grown and big, develops an egg in one of her ovaries every month.
So she can have a baby? Only if the egg joins the sperm. Pay attention. Continue, Roger.
On the sixth floor of the United Nations Secretariat building in New York are probably the busiest people in the entire matchbox-shaped structure, the reporters who tell the world of the international organization's affairs.
I don't know, Fred. There's something going on upstairs. Those troubleshooter types don't want to tell us about it.
I know. That astronomer who discovered this spectacular meteor shower headed past Earth had an appointment with Morgan Tracy and Diana Prince of the Crisis Bureau this morning. Since then, there hasn't been a public word from any government official anywhere. That's all I know.
That's all anybody knows. It's pretty spooky, if you ask me.
But two people who do know are Morgan Tracy of the Crisis Bureau and Diana Prince, alias Wonder Woman.
There's no indication at all that it's an invasion. These men running the world's governments are afraid of anything unknown. They'd be afraid of their shadows if they weren't attached to them.
This is no laughing matter, Diana. What we thought were meteors are actually spaceships on a direct course for Washington, D.C. All they've got to do is say boo, and the balance of peace around the world could topple for fear of them.
Fear, that's the word. Not a love of peace, not need for security. It's blind fear that rules these...
Hello, Tracy here. He has. Then the others will follow immediately. Thanks.
Well, what is it?
It's out of our hands now. The ships have entered the atmosphere, and the President of the United States has authorized an anti-missile barrage to stop them. The Soviet Union and other nuclear powers will probably back up the American defense with their own support. Diana?
It might be out of your hands, Morgan, but that makes it the world's problem.
And within minutes, leaping off the roof of the United Nations building to land on the invisible wing of the robot plane is the red and gold form of Wonder Woman. As the magnificent solar-powered vehicle begins a dizzying climb into the stratosphere, racing the armed might of the world's greatest nations to disaster.
About six ships heading down and a whole swarm of missiles on the way up. Got the first one and the lasso. I can divert it. Yes, lasso will stretch infinitely. Cover up that other bomb in a golden, indestructible cocoon so it can blow harmlessly. Two of them now, one with each end of the lasso. Spin them round and round. Help me fling these flying death heads clear.
One after the other, Wonder Woman deflects and defuses and contains the explosions of the destruction-carrying tubes that soar up at the approaching ships until not one weapon is left. And on the lawn surrounding the Washington Monument in the capital city of the United States, the robot plane accompanies six magnificent ships to a soft landing. It is not long before a crowd of people gravitate to the lawn as Wonder Woman looks on. As if at a signal, when members of the news media arrive, six entry hatches to six spacecraft open. And...
They're all women! And they've got to be at least 7 feet tall!
7 feet tall and gorgeous!
Women and men of Earth, we come in peace. We call ourselves the Psi Women, and we reign supreme on the world of Regulus IV.
The news hits the world like a wave of rolling thunder, and within a week...
This is Patsy Keene for WRRB-TV. Thousands of women cheered Lyra, leader of the Psi Women, today when she spoke at Madison Square Garden. Lyra espoused the Psi Women's philosophy of the superiority of women to men in all ways, saying that if women ruled Earth, then their ships would never have been attacked out of mindless fear. They say that on their planet, men are slaves who walk on all fours, something hardly likely to happen here on Earth.
Sometime later in the skies above the city, Wonder Woman seeks out the leader of the Psi Women.
Psi Women's command ship directly ahead. Robot plane slow to rendezvous with ship and hover.
And Wonder Woman's plane soon makes contact with the alien craft.
Lyra! Lyra! Come out of the ship immediately. This is Wonder Woman and this is an order.
Come aboard, sister. Why do I detect anger in your voice?
You don't know? Don't you monitor Earth television? Haven't you seen what's been happening in the weeks your ships have been hovering over our world? Do you know what's happened to our men?
Your men have simply begun to take their proper place in your society. It is a gift from the enlightened civilization of Regulus IV.
A gift? Turn on that television monitor and look at this gift.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Look at that, Lyra. The President down on his knees as he crawls to the podium behind his wife. Now look, he's sitting up on his hind legs as his wife addresses the press.
Ladies of the press, because of the effects the bizarre events of these past weeks have had on our economy, the President and I have decided...
I thought you were an Amazon Wonder Woman, not a slave. I see you will no longer be welcome in our ships. You are dismissed.
Get that hand off me, or I'll take it home as a souvenir.
Don't do anything. Oh! Not even the women of my own world are permitted to lay a hand on Lyra. You will have to be corrected. I should have you killed, Wonder Woman. It is only your ignorance that keeps me from doing so.
I'll leave now, but if you continue to spread this noxious philosophy of yours, you can swear by Hera, I shall be back. My plane. Who are you? For Athena's sake, get up off your knees.
Oh, I can't get off my knees, Wonder Woman. This isn't natural, you see. It's a disease. I must sign my name from Regulus Core. Please take me away from here. If they know I even talk to you, they'll certainly torture me.
I didn't know the Psi women brought any of their men along, and I suspected this All Fours business was some kind of disease of theirs. What's the story?
The story is a terrible one of sickness and pestilence. The horrible affliction that affects only men. An affliction the women of my world have brought to yours.
Don't be afraid. Tell me.
Generations ago, men were dominant on my world. Even more so than on Earth. Then, the germ hit. Within weeks, all men were dropped to the posture of dogs. It fell to the women until a cure was found to take over the dominant role.
Then there is a cure. What is it?
That's what is so horrible. When Regulus IV scientists found a cure, a vote was taken among the women and they decided to suppress it. We understand now that the women were downtrodden so long that they could not bring themselves to give up the world's rule. They decided to roam the galaxy for human-populated planets, bringing the disease germ with them. Earth is their first target, and the dozens of men who came along with them are kept hidden, serving only as servants like me.
Well, there's just a chance we can put an end to this injustice once and for all.
What are you doing? Landing on the water? The island is over there.
That's Paradise Island, where no man can set foot. But if you will cooperate, Amazon scientists will be able to use this plane as a floating medical laboratory while they analyze your blood and disease.
A cure? I would do anything for a cure.
Afternoon wears on to night, and night gives way to the rays of morning light as the finest medical minds the Amazon civilization has produced shuttle back and forth to the robot plane floating off the coast of Paradise Island until...
Well, what have you got, Penelope?
With Minerva's help, I think I've found a serum that should reverse the effects of the disease, but it would be a great risk without further testing.
With further testing, time would pass. I would be found and punished for leaving. Please, let me be the test case.
And just hours later, the time comes for Lyra and her sisters from Regulus IV to say farewell to the planet Earth from the lawn in front of the Washington Monument where they first appeared.
New rulers of the planet, we have left you our enlightened ways and a chance to remake your society according to a better order. We of Regulus IV bid you... That noise. What is that disorder inside my ship? What in...
We're free!
The Psymen, walking on 2 feet, rebelling. Stop them, sisters!
Peace. Let there be peace here.
Wonder Woman, our savior.
I might have known you would somehow be responsible for this travesty, renegade female.
Lyra, Psi women, Psi men, people of Earth. My Amazon sisters found a cure for the disease that makes men submissive to women. Because for women to come into their own that way would defeat the very meaning of sisterhood.
Boo!
Oh, forget it!
Oh.
No!
Forget it! We don't want that!
Listen to me. Let me speak.
I saturated the atmosphere of the Earth with the disease cure in gaseous form using my robot plane. Because it is not dominance, one group over the other group, for which both women and men must strive. It doesn't matter which of us is toughest. We must all be given a chance to be equals.
Wonder Woman is right. We have a chance when we return to Regulus IV to go back as equals for the first time in our history. Men and women of all worlds are different, and for that reason, need each other desperately. Let us take this chance, and surely we will profit from it.
That goes here on Earth, too. Hooray for Wonder Woman!
Great Hera, make this dream come true.
Vagina.
Vagina, spelled V-A-G-I-N-A, is a canal-like passage between the uterus and an opening between the mother's legs. It is the place where sperm are deposited by the father during mating and the passage through which the baby passes into the new world when it is born.
Prince, that between the years when the oceans drank Atlantis and the gleaming cities and the rise of the sons of Arias, there was an age undreamed of when shining kingdoms lay spread across the world like blue mantles beneath the stars. Hither came Conan the Cimmerian, black-haired, sullen-eyed, sword in hand, to tread the jeweled thrones of the earth under his sandaled feet. The journey through the bitter Northlands has been long, arduous, but a certain grim-visaged Cimmerian has grown accustomed to hardship. Head nodding, almost asleep in the saddle, Conan rides through the desolate wastes, the chill wind moaning past his ear.
Uh-huh. I must be more tired than I thought. For an instant, I'd have sworn I heard the wind calling my
name.
Devils. Then I wasn't dreaming. Something in the wind did call my name. Something summons me. And it is a summons too intriguing to ignore.
Across the angry wastes, the young Cimmerian gallops, the beckoning wind song growing ever louder until...
Their horse. The moaning seems to come from that cavern. Wait here, old Hardspur. Devils, this cavern is blacker than a moneylender's heart. I cannot see even my sword outstretched before me. It's as if...
Welcome, Conan of Cimmeria. Come you closer and stand before my bubbling cauldron.
Who are you, stander in shadows, that you know my name?
I am Priscilla. And there is little I do not know about you, my friend. Look into my cauldron, into the swirling mists of change, and know I speak the truth.
By the eyes of Ishtar, images form. Images I recognize.
Look closely, Conan, and behold a babe born on a Cimmerian battlefield less than 20 winters past. A child able to lift a sword almost before he was able to walk. A youth who received his baptism of blood and fire at distant Vanaheim just 1 year ago. A budding man come to seek his fortune in more civilized lands.
Your illusions fail to frighten me, old crone. Whatever I might one day be, I am now but a poor wandering mercenary. What do you want with me?
Look into the mists of change once more, barbarian, and you will see.
Mitra, never before have I seen a gem of such magnificence. It's as big around as a fat man's head, and it glitters like a fallen star.
It is called the Jewel of the Ages. And with your help, Cimmerian, it is my intention to steal it.
Despite your mysterious manner, you're no better than I am. You're merely a cut purse in conjurer's clothing.
No, barbarian. It is the sorcerer Shara Khan who is the villain here. For centuries, the Jewel of the Ages belonged to my family, until the self-serving Shara Khan, who had been my father's loyal advisor, purloined the enchanted gem and cast my poor father, his king, into dark imprisonment. Conan, only you of all men have the strength of purpose, the strength of limb, to help me regain the ancient jewel and restore my father to his throne.
And what am I supposed to gain from all this? What have you to offer me, shadowy one, that I would throw myself so readily into? A great black wolf, as tall as a man.
No, Conan, far more than a wolf. The demon beast of Shara Khan has found me at last.
Then let it now find the point of my sword.
Conan.
Oh, this beast weighs as much as a mountain. There. That's better. Here, old woman. Give me your hand. Let me help you to your feet as well. Huh? You're no old crone. Priscilla, you're a young woman.
You see now why I need your aid, Cimmerian? A woman alone, despite my poor mystic powers, would be no match for the master sorcerer Shara Khan, but with you at my side...
Again, woman, why should I involve myself in this? Granted that you're indeed a handsome-looking wench, but what else do I stand to gain?
The priceless jewel of the ages. It is needed only to restore my father to his throne, and once that is done, it is yours. But before we can accomplish anything, we must return to my father's castle.
And... how are we to find that place?
I need only press this graven stone set into the cavern wall and...
A tunnel, eh? Woman, you're full of surprises.
These ancient hills are laced with tunnels, and this one, the most secret of them all, leads home. Come, barbarian, follow me.
The air is stale in here. I can fairly taste it.
Be patient, Cimmerian. You'll soon develop a taste for finer things, I assure you. Oh, we've reached our destination.
And about time. Slinking through dark tunnels thus makes me feel not unlike a worm.
Then step through this portal for me.
Conan and Priscilla enter a chamber which becomes a veritable temple. A crude stairway leads up to an ancient altar, upon which kneels a giant warrior carved of ebon stone. In its hands, the statue holds an ornate chalice, and in the chalice, upon a silken cushion, there rests...
of the ages. Quickly come, bring me the gem.
The jewel is even more beautiful than the image you conjured.
Back at last, are you? I've awaited your return anxiously, Chrysilla. And I see you brought along a friend. Turn this way, barbarian, and give proper greeting to your host.
Shara Khan?
You know me, barbarian. I'm flattered. And you, Chrysilla, do you know my companion?
Father! Curse you, Shara Khan! Why have you chained him?
I merely thought it appropriate, my dear, that your beloved, if doddering, parent be present to witness your most untimely demise.
If there is death to be dealt here, wizard, it is I who will do the dealing.
Ah, the overconfidence of youth. A shame, barbarian. You will not live to experience old age.
The lean wizard merely gestures, and the giant stone warrior rises to its feet.
The statue is alive. By Kron, it's alive.
A condition you'll not labor under much longer, my pitiful friend.
We'll see who's pitiful here, sorcerer.
Aye, barbarian. Indeed, we will.
Oh, Shere Khan, you can't do this terrible thing.
Can't I, Chrysilla? Obviously, I can do anything I want. And right now, I want your bold barbarians dead.
Back and forth across the high stone altar, the battle rages. Conan fighting savagely to survive until he chances to notice the maniacal Shere Khan and suddenly realizes...
The stone warrior echoes the sorcerer's every move. As if it were a part of the wizard himself. If I can defeat one, perhaps I'll have defeated them both.
Do you see, Chrysilla? Your barbarian's well-worn sword is useless against my champion. My giant warrior is forcing the Cimmerian back to the very edge of the altar. One final lunge and...
Look, Shere Khan. Conan is diving between the creature's legs. The giant cannot stop its lunge in time. It's toppling over the altar's edge.
No!
No!
The stone giant shatters into a thousand fragments. Its sound mingles with the piercing scream of Shere Khan, almost as if it had been he who fell. And in a way, it was.
My Eric, Shere Khan has fallen as well, his body lying twisted exactly like the shattered body of the statue. His sorcery was truly greater than... Huh? Chrysilla? What are you doing with the Jewel of the Ages? Put the gem down, woman. Put it down.
Here, Father, take the enchanted jewel. Drink of its life-giving forces. Be whole once more. Be whole.
Thank you, Chrysilla. You are truly a daughter a king can be proud of.
By the demons of Ishtar, what wizardry is this? Before my eyes, that shriveled old man grows younger, straighter, stronger.
It is the power of the Jewel of the Ages, Conan. The power of life everlasting. For centuries, my family has used this mystic gem to defy death's dark forces, draining its power a bit at a time, as my father just has. Now the gem's power is drained dry at last, and without that energy to sustain it, it is not even a shining jewel anymore, but merely...
Dust. The jewel has turned to dust in your hands. But you promised it to me.
Forgive me, Conan, but there was no other way. It was all merely a ruse. I feared you would not help me without the proper reward.
And you might well have been right, woman. But it appears I will be paid for my troubles after all. This chalice you so casually threw aside will be ample payment indeed. There is much a man can purchase with a chalice made of solid gold.
Testicles, spelled T-E-S-T-I-C-L-E, is the oval-shaped reproductive gland of the father's male organs where the sperm are produced. There are two in the scrotal sac between the father's legs.
Now everybody try to find a good hiding place. This old tree is going to be the base. I'm going to close my eyes and hide my face and count to 100 by fives. Ready? Go.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, ready, hop, here I come. Apple, peaches, pumpkin pie, who's not ready, holler I.
Ah. All right, I'll count it again, but you better get hit, kid. Here we go.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, 105, 110, 115, 120. There, a bushel of wheat and a bushel of rye. Who's not here? Holler, aye. 20 nickels makes a dollar. I didn't hear anybody holler. 5 times 20 is 100. Everybody got to be hit. All eyes open, here I come. Multiplying by 5 is a little like counting by 5. In fact, if you counted along on your fingers as you counted out loud by 5s, your fingers would tell you how many 5s you've got. Okay, let's count together now. Count on your fingers. One finger for each count out loud. Get set, ready, go. 5, 10, 15, 20, stop. 20. You got 4 fingers, see? That means 4 times 5 is 20. Let's try another one. Get set, ready, go. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Stop. 35. 7 fingers. That's right. 7 times 5 is 35. Okay, let's try a longer one. Now, when you run out of fingers at 50, see, because 10 times 5 is 50, then start over with the same fingers and remember that you owe 10. Get set, ready, go. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, stop. 10 and 2, right? That's 12 fingers, and 12 times 5 is 60. See how it works? Now, you may notice that if you multiply 5 by an even number, your product will end in 0, and if you multiply 5 by an odd number, your product will end in 5. Okay, now let's do one more game of counting the fives on our fingers. This is a long number. Keep going. Get set, ready, go.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85.
Stop. 85. 17 fingers. Look at that bar with 17 fingers sticking up. How do you do that, kid? Anyway, 5 times 17 is 85. You see, that's 3 fives short of 100. If you had 3 more nickels, 15 cents, and added the 15 to the 85, you'd get 100, right? Cause 5 times 20 is 100, everybody got to be hit. It's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, ready or not?
Must begin somewhere.
Zero.
So let us begin where there is great need and great hope. Zero. This will be a clear step forward to help people choose their future more freely. With hard work and imagination, there is no limit to what
KZSU, Stanford,
can achieve.
Oh, Vambolilla, we're having some fun today, aren't we?
I'll say, Count, I'm having a lot of fun today.
I noticed it's awfully wet out.
Very wet.
Yes, isn't it? It's beautiful weather. Hey, you know what? Old Alfred Hitchcock was promising to continue the perfect alibi this week, but I think he's postponing it for the Stanford kids to come back.
So you're saying he is a man of his promises, but just a little extension there on that promise?
Yes, exactly.
He's a
man, you know, very straightforward and direct, but I tell you, sometimes you just can't trust him, you know?
Well, he's never let me down.
I'm sure he hasn't, but nevertheless, you will be back when Stanford's in session. In the meanwhile, we've got a final feature here on Mystery Playhouse. The Adventures of Jungle Jim. Take it away, Jungle Jim. Baby.
Presenting the Adventures of Jungle Jim. The Adventures of Jungle Jim, broadcast weekly over this station, are dramatized from the full-color action pictures to be found in the Comic Weekly, the world's greatest comic supplement that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the 11 million adults and the 6 million youngsters who enjoy the world's greatest comic and adventure pictures by the world's best artists, featured in every issue of the Comic Weekly, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Jungle Jim finally accepts a new assignment from the intelligence service of the Army to investigate possible bases an enemy power might have in or near the Caribbean Sea. The only evidence of such secret bases is the presence of small submarines with a limited cruising range, which have been sighted but not recognized as belonging definitely to any one nation. While the authorities are disturbed by the presence of these strange craft with world conditions as they are, nothing can be done about it officially. Hence the request to Jungle Jim to quietly investigate the matter and furnish the evidence on which to act. Jim and Kitty St. John have left the canal zone and are now winging northward in a flying fortress to Puerto Rico, where Colonel Cripps is awaiting Jim with all the information both Army and Navy intelligence have been able to gather up to this time. Looking down at the ocean, Kitty spots a strange shadow in the water. Jim recognizes it as a submarine.
To is a preposition, come as a verb. To is a preposition, come as a verb, the verb intransitive. To come. I've heard these two words my whole adult life, and as a kid when they thought I was sleeping on the mohair couch. It's been like a big drum solo. Did you come? Did you come good? 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 I come better with you, sweetheart, than anyone in the whole goddamn world. But don't come in me. Don't come in me. Don't come in me, me, don't come in me, don't come in me. I can't come, don't ask me, because you don't love me, that's why you can't come. I love you, I just can't come, that's my hang-up. I can't come and I'm loaded, all right? Because you don't love me. Just what the hell is the matter with you? What has that got to do with loving you? I just can't come, that's all. Now, if anyone in this room or the world finds those two words, obscene, indecent, immoral, you probably can't come.
Stardate 6134.6. The mysterious time slowdown we're experiencing has affected not only every crew member on board, but all the Enterprise's instruments and computer banks. It's as if time itself were winding down, and us with it.
Sensor readings confirm my hypothesis, Captain. The slowdown phenomena did not initiate until we came within 3 light years of that peculiar high-density energy field directly ahead.
Shut down all warp engines, Mr. Sulu. I want zero acceleration. Stand by on impulse power.
Shut down engines now, Captain.
Spock.
Fascinating. The time slowdown seems to have leveled itself. The moment we stopped approaching the energy field. For the moment, at least, things are getting no slower.
That's all I wanted to know. Mr. Chekhov, bring us around to 134.8 degrees on full impulse power. I want to put at least 10 light years between us and that energy field.
I see.
As soon as we began moving in another direction, the slowdown effect started reversing itself, and in moments the crew and the instruments aboard the Enterprise were back to normal, just in time to face a problem of a different nature.
Alien vessel moving along our starboard at warp 3, Captain.
Very well, Mr. Sulu. Shift over to warp 1 and remain on this course. Lieutenant Uhura, open all hailing frequencies.
I'm trying, sir.
Let's see what our shadow looks like. Activate the screen.
Screen on, Captain.
What do you make of it, Spock?
Curious. Although I'm not familiar with the design of the vessel, I would most certainly say those markings on its hull suggest we're being flanked by a warship.
Message from the alien craft coming through now, sir.
Attention, enemy unit. This is Conrack speaking. Surrender your vessel at once or face annihilation. You do not have long to decide.
End of transmission, sir.
What was that you were saying about a warship, Spock?
Perhaps this other ship believes we are responsible for the time slowdown. That would certainly explain their hostility.
They certainly don't feel like explaining it. Damage report.
One of our shields is buckling. Moderate casualties in decks 35 to 38. Warp engines holding steady.
Arm photon torpedoes, Mr. Chekhov.
Photon torpedoes armed and ready, sir.
Very well. Bring us about to 25.5 degrees, Mr. Sulu, and we'll be in position to...
A moment, Captain. Something strange on my sensors.
Report, Spock.
Although the dimensions of their warship are even larger than the Enterprise...
As a galactic babysitter, you're not half bad. See you all later.
Spock. About Konrak and Klee, something bothers me.
Captain, we return them to their home planet. With Gola gone, they'll begin to progress normally now. I don't see a problem.
That part about them coming from a planet called Earth, I can't help wondering if it was our Earth. But there are no historical records of an ancient civilization vanishing from Earth that long ago.
Curious. When I took over from Klee at the Sensors, I picked up brief mental images of his very first ancestors. They were evacuating a sinking continent in spaceships.
Spock!
Tell me, Captain, isn't there an old Earth legend about a civilization that sank beneath the sea called Atlantis?
Atlantis? Mr. Spock, would you be surprised if you just solved one of the greatest mysteries on Earth of all time?
Surprised? Hardly, Captain. Somewhat pleased, perhaps.
Spark, never mind.
The penis is an organ hanging in front between a boy's legs. It is just in front of the scrotal sac that contains the testicles. You know, the penis is the thing that is also used by boys for urinating. Well, anyway, the penis becomes big, and the father, usually after much love and tenderness with mother, puts his penis into her vagina.
How does it fit?
Naturally. The mother, because of her feelings of love and happiness, relaxes the muscles of her vagina that enables the erect penis to enter easily. Thus, the act of mating.
That's amazing.
No.